get started, I'd just like to remind everyone that 3 weeks from today will be Catherine and Steve Price, our new co-pastors. It will be their first Sunday, so make sure you're here August 7th. And if you don't already have a name tag, please stop by the Welcome Center and get an order form and place an order so that as Steve and Catherine get to know us, your name tags are going to be very helpful to them. So if you have one, just put yourself now in the practice of wearing it every Sunday so that they can readily have a name to go with your face. Also, wanted to remind everyone that one of the things we thought would be a great way to show them some radical hospitality would be to offer them a gift card tree or something to that effect, with gift cards to all of our favorite places around Gainesville, maybe with a little note of welcome. And so if you'd like to participate in that, you can drop off those gift cards. Somebody handed me one this morning. I'll take it and pass it on, or you could go directly to June Masters, who's our receptionist that sits at the front desk during the week, or drop it off at the pastor's office with Shannon Roselle. So time now for our mission box, and Candace King, I'd like to invite her up. She's going to tell us about Acorn this morning.
Good morning. My name is Candace King. I have the honor of serving as the executive director of Acorn Clinic. I'm looking around and I see some familiar faces. Some of you have seen me before and some of you have been part of my life. Our family is having an interesting weekend this weekend. My oldest daughter is turning 30. And I don't understand how that happened so quickly since I'm so young. You're seeing some images here of Acorn Clinic. We are a rural health clinic in the very northern part of Alachua County. In fact, if you go just 500 yards on, you'll be in Bradford County. We've been there for 43 years. We are a full-service dental clinic, and we have a primary care and mental health services in our medical clinic. Your congregation, and we serve probably about 3,000 patients a year with almost 10,000 patient visits, so we're very busy. Your congregation has been a partner with Acorn Clinic for many years in several different ways. You've given to support our patient care mission. We serve low-income people with sliding scale fees, so every visit is essentially needs to be subsidized for us to provide that care. But you also transport patients, homeless patients, from Gainesville out to Acorn Clinic for dental care once a month, and you've been doing that for many years. In fact, I saw one of the drivers at the earlier service. That's great. Those folks don't have access to dental care, and as you know, that's a huge part of seeing both safe and healthy as well as out of pain. We also have Dr. John Shahan, who's a member of your congregation, and his Sunday school class have done a monthly free Spanish clinic for us for over 7 years. He comes out with two physician assistants, and we supply the space and the nurse and the translators, and we've been doing that for a long time. It's free care for those folks. So thank you for everything that you've done for us and continue to do to support us. We're part of the healthcare safety net in this community, and it's a big job. There's a lot to do. We also this year have begun our 2016 capital campaign. Last time we did a campaign like this was in 2000. We built a dental clinic at that time. Now we're essentially refurbishing and repairing our very busy facility and looking to expand our dental clinic to provide more care. Dental is one of the areas in this community that's very difficult for people to get affordable dental care, and we're trying to do what we can to expand our service. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Candace. And so please give at any of the five mission box locations. It's the five wooden boxes that you'll pass as you leave the sanctuary this morning. That was our announcement. That's our mission box. I'd like to invite everyone's attention to the Connect card inside your bulletin. If you're a regular member or a regular visitor here at Trinity, please fill it out. Let us know you were here. And if you're a first-time visitor today, first-time guest with us, we're so glad that you're with us. I actually just took notice, he's going to hate that I'm doing this, but I see Joel Panko sitting right there. He's the new director of the Wesley Foundation at University of Florida. So, Joel, we're glad that you're with us this morning. Thanks for being here. And if you're here for the first time, we're glad that you're here. Please fill out the Connect card. Let us know that you are here. And I'd like to welcome our online viewers this morning. But we have this tradition, and we hope that everyone comes to feel this way about Trinity. Welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together. And our guest worship leaders are the Gabriel sisters this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Please stand and let us worship God together this morning with our opening hymn, How Great Thou Art, and our song, How Great Is Our God. Time.
while we are standing as an act of worship, let us affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We have the privilege now of going to God together in prayer, and as we do, what you see there on the screen are the names of the folks that we know about that are in the hospital, in rehab, hospice, or receiving specialized care that Lenora and the care team have been providing visits to and prayer and support to. If you feel that there's a name missing from that list and want to know about it, you can let Lenora know. You can use your Connect card and let us know, or call our receptionist who maintains the hospital list, and we'll make sure that they get visited. We also keep a ongoing prayer list as well. It's available in our narthex. If you have something you'd like to celebrate and lift to God in prayer, or have a concern that you'd like to have lifted to God in prayer by those who pray over that list, you can use your Connect card for that as well. As we go to God in prayer, I want to remember our high school mission team that left yesterday for Tennessee. They're going to partner with ASP and do some home repairs. 49 students and adult chaperones going on mission together, and so we're grateful for that. And then tomorrow morning, we have our middle school team leaving for Alabama to partner with Radius Camp. So I want to remember the youth of our church as they're on mission this week. And I know that many of you came through the doors with joys and concerns of your own, and so as we unite our hearts together, we can lift those to God in prayer. So let us pray. God of relentless love and infinite grace, we pause here this morning in this sacred space during this sacred hour to unite our hearts and come before you in prayer. We are grateful, God, that you have gathered us here this day, and as we worship you, we pray that you are glorified, and that as we participate together in these acts of worship, we pray that we are built up by having been together and in your presence. We lift to you, O God, those who have been named here this morning who are in need of your healing touch, be it emotional, physical, or spiritual. You are the great physician, and we pray for healing, for your healing grace to be palpably felt by those who need it. Pray that you sustain with your comfort those who are providing their care. We do lift to you, O God, our mission teams who are going to be doing your work in Tennessee and in Alabama this week. And we pray for protection and safety as they do this work. Most of all, God, we pray for transformation. That those who are going to be your hands and feet while they are seeking to provide change in the world that they want to see, that you, as they are doing this work, change their hearts, change their lives. And that's what we pray for here this morning, God, as we worship you. Changed hearts and changed lives. We pray that you transform us in this time. Help us to become more fully who you created us to be, so that we might leave here changed. And I recognize, God, that these prayers I have lifted to you this morning are focused on us and on our church. And as we look beyond the walls of this place, we see a hurting world. A world that has endured much in recent weeks. Unspeakable hatred and violence. hearts this morning with Christians around the world praying for peace. We pray for the city of Nice and the horror that has happened there. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Turkey as they are dealing with the unrest and the violence there. And God, and in the face of violence that feels so far away and we don't know what to do, I would call our attention to these words from a beautiful hymn of our faith. Let peace begin with us. Let this be the moment now. With every step we take, let this be our solemn vow to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. And so our hearts cry out to you, O God, peace. Peace. Let there be peace on this earth that you love and will restore. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray when we gather this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Since this is normally the youth service, and since the youth are in Tennessee and Alabama, we thought we would do a little bit of different take on this song for the service. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the sky, for the love which from above, over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree, flowers, sun and moon and stars thine, Lord of all, to thee we praise this hymn of grateful praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends of earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, thee we praise. This grace is human and divine. Flowers of earth and buds of heaven, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our gift of grateful praise. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Aaron and Anna, for that offering. And we have now the opportunity to offer ourselves back to God. And so, ushers, would you please come to prepare to receive our offering? And as they do, I'd just like to point out that as members of Trinity, we covenant with one another to give in proportion to what God has given us to help fuel the ministries of this church. And so as we give back to God, let me pray for us. God, we do give thanks. We lift a hymn of praise with grateful hearts for the many ways that you work in and through our lives. And as we give back to you now from what you first gave to us, we pray that you multiply these gifts, tithes, these offerings for the good of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, we pray. Thank you.
privilege for me to be able to share the Word of God this morning with you, but as we preach on a Methodist Give Thanks, I am especially grateful for the opportunity. It is hard for me to believe it has actually already been 6 weeks since Dr. Dan's last worship service with us. And the week following that, if you were here, you'll remember that I preached from the first four chapters of Joshua about our safe passage during this time of transition and echoed Joshua's words to make yourselves holy, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonderful things among you. But since then, much has happened in our world, and the idea of safe passage has taken on a whole new meaning for me, especially in the wake of the violence and hatred that is coming at us day after day. This week, my heart sank with the attack in France and the civil unrest in Turkey, and I was reminded of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s words that seem so apropos right now, because with racism and terrorism and all of it coming at us, he said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." How poetic, how prophetic, and how woefully accurate those words capture what's going on today. Making ourselves holy by getting back to the basics of our faith is essentially the premise of us embarking on our current sermon series, The Five Marks of a Methodist. This series is based on Steve Harper's book, and it examines John Wesley's treatise on a character of a Methodist, in which John Wesley outlined five distinguishing attributes that he believed captured the essential character of the peculiar people of his day that were being called Methodists. A Methodist loves God. A Methodist rejoices. A Methodist gives thanks. A Methodist prays constantly. And a Methodist loves others. When we picked this series, Aaron and I had no idea of the horror that was going to break out around our state, in our country, and in our world. And now, perhaps more than ever, we are being forced to examine what it means as a Christian to respond to these events. The depth of our character is being tested and revealed every day, and our response to the events and the rhetoric that are seeking to shape our lives. Safe passage no longer seems like a creative metaphor, but a necessary reality for each and every one of us. And last week, Aaron preached on a Methodist rejoices, and he commented about the ways that we lean into God's grace so that joy can flow into our lives and then flow out of our lives. And he said, if searching scripture, prayer, fasting, and receiving the Lord's Supper are means by which we breathe in God's grace, then neglecting them means we aren't breathing like we should. On my recent mission trip, I took 10 flights in 11 days, and Aaron's comment immediately brought back these still too familiar words to me as I heard in my head, "Ladies and gentlemen, we now request your full attention as the flight attendants demonstrate you the safety features of our aircraft. In the event of a sudden change in air cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will automatically drop in front of you. Please place the mask over your nose and mouth. Secure the mask by tightening the elastic bands located on either side of the mask. The bag will not inflate. That oxygen is flowing, breathe normally." Although they said these words, I also heard, you, if you are traveling with a young child and someone who requires assistance, secure your mask first before assisting the other person. Please keep your mask on until a uniform crew member informs you otherwise. And for further instructions, please see the manual on your screen. We know that when it comes to meeting your travel needs, you may have many choices, and on behalf of our entire crew, we'd like to thank you for choosing Trinity United Methodist Air for your travel needs. We look forward to serving you on this trip. If you have any questions about this airplane or our flight today, please don't hesitate to ask any one of our crew members. Thank you for your attention, and enjoy your flight. So breath and breathing is absolutely essential for us to be able to function, let alone respond and help others respond in the midst of sudden and dramatic changes in our environment. And right now, it seems as though we have entered into just such a time of dramatic change in pressure accompanied by increasing levels of toxicity in the air. As such, we need to make sure that our mass is firmly secured, our connection to all that sustains us physically, spiritually, emotionally, is firmly secure so that the air we breathe in consistently cultivates the characters that we want to be exhaling into this world. And so with all of this in mind, please fasten your seatbelts and will you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this opportunity to gather together in your presence, to be renewed by your Spirit. We humble ourselves before you and ask that you open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our focus verses for today actually come from two of Paul's letters. One was written to the city of Thessalonica, the church there, and the other was written to the church in Corinth. The first one, to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, reads this way: "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 reads, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." I'm actually going to focus our attention on that first verse from 1 Thessalonians. As such, I want to read it to you in context because it's part of Paul's final instructions to this particular church on how it should order its communal life together. And here's what he wrote to them in chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil." Paraphrasing it, rejoice, pray, give thanks always in every circumstance because this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophetic guidance. Test everything so that you can hold on to what is good and resist and abstain from all that is evil. When I ponder this passage, I join Steve Harper's assessment about what he wrote about this text when he said, "Whoa, we just entered the deep end of the pool." We certainly did. Not just because these are the kind of words that are much easier said than done, because these are the kind of words that require careful analysis and thoughtful application. Unfortunately, because of the grammatical complexities or otherwise, these words have been misinterpreted in times past, twisted out of context to make false proclamations, and they have become the foundation of heresies that tell us we are supposed to give thanks for all things because all things come from God. All, meaning that both good and evil, come from God. And these things enter our lives precisely because that's God's will for us. This heresy could not be further from biblical truth. It is not the things in and of themselves that we are supposed to give thanks to God for, but it is that our rejoicing and our praying and our gratitude are intended to be focused on God in the midst of all things, independent of the circumstances. It might sound like I'm splitting hairs with this, but it's critically important for us to understand what it is that Paul is instructing us to give thanks for and why it's God's will that we give thanks. And I want to pause here for just a moment. If this text has ever been misquoted to you, let me tell you now, and hear me, God is not the author of evil. God does not give people cancer or abuse children or murder or steal or rape. God does not terrorize or prompt racism. Nor does God cause floods or hurricanes or tornadoes. Period. These things do not flow into our lives because God is trying to teach us something or to punish us. God is not mad at you. God loves you always. And God will never give up on you, never terrorize you or torture you or abandon you. Yes, God can redeem all things. And God uses all things in order to heal us and to help us learn what a Christ-like response should look like. But God is not the author of evil or the hell that we sometimes go through. Thankfully, John Wesley and other classical theologians like him that go all the way back to the first century and even beyond understood evil to be the absence of God, the antithesis of God. And this makes sense to me because if any human being ever did one, if not all of these things, we would at a minimum be throwing them in jail, not worshiping them, and we'd probably be looking to execute them. I'm going to stop there and not dive any deeper into the philosophical debate of what this issue is normally called or referred to as the problem of evil. But in case you didn't already guess, I side with John Wesley in saying that God did not create evil. And I believe that evil is a force that seeks to destroy all the good that God creates. As such, evil in all of its forms, whether it's moral, ethical, natural, or so on, is not what Paul is referring to when he addresses God's will for us in giving thanks. God's will in all things is directed specifically to our response, to a response that is designed to direct our focus to the eternal instead of the temporal. And this is exactly what Paul is instructing the church to do in Thessalonica when he wrote for them to gather together, to give thanks in the midst of what were otherwise fear-filled circumstances. This was a church undergoing heavy persecution at the time. And so they were to gather and they were to express gratitude to God because it enabled them to breathe in God's grace and joy and strength in order to discern the Spirit's guidance and wisdom so that they could recognize and cling to all that is good and to let go of the evil and to be at peace with God, within themselves, with one another, and even with their enemies, and so that they could resist the strong temptation that so quickly rises in all of us as humans to justify repaying evil with evil. The same is still true for us today. We gather in community when we might find it hard to muster up a response of praise and prayer and thanksgiving. We gather together because that is how we are reconnected to God and to each other. And it is how we offer thanks. And remember that we are offering thanks to a God who is greater than any evil that exists. A God who has taken on the worst that hell can dish out and risen victoriously. A God who proclaims with his very death and resurrection that love has won. That there is nothing that can stand between us and God. Not disease, not abuse, not terrorism, not racism, not political agendas. Nothing can separate us from our victorious Savior who is our source, in whom we live and move and breathe and find our very being. Yes, evil is very real, and there are depraved people in our world, but evil is temporary, and it is on its way out. And as for the people, God loves them all. Even in the midst of their depravity, He loves those who are lost in sin and darkness. Gratitude in the midst of difficulty is not about conjuring up a Pollyanna pie-in-the-sky dream or burying our head in the sand. God doesn't want us to give thanks in the midst of tragedy simply because He desires to fill the world with what Aaron called last week happy, clappy Christians. God's will for us is to give thanks because gratitude grounds our response to life. The good, the bad, the ugly, it grounds us to greater truth, ultimate truth, to Christ. My friends, I realize it may not always look like it, but God's kingdom has been unleashed on this world, and there will come a day when His will be done as it is in heaven. Until that day comes, God instructs us to give thanks so that we can tap into this truth, and we do so when we adopt a posture of gratitude. When we are willing and brave enough to give thanks in the midst of challenge, we declare within ourselves and to a watching world that the worst thing that ever happens to us will never be the last thing that happens to us. And that's a reason to give thanks. One of the reasons I love being a Methodist. Methodism offers us a gift. The life of spiritual discipline. As we breathe in God's grace, we are consistently reminded of greater truth. This happens every time we take time to read the scriptures or to study and pray, to gather for worship, to receive communion, to give and to serve. All of those things that connect you to God. And I know that many of you grew up as Methodists. Some of you are not Methodists yet. And some of you are still on that journey. But I didn't have the privilege of growing up as a Methodist. Many of you know I grew up as a Jew, and then I became a follower of Christ, and then I chose to become a Methodist. And lots of people ask me why. Well, it's because over 15 years ago, I entered into a Trinity, United Methodist Church, down in Palm Beach Gardens. And when I entered in there, I witnessed something I had never seen before. Heard a message of grace about God's love that was entirely different than anything someone had told me before. It was a message that welcomed me as I was, that gave me tools to grow in my faith, and it allowed me to begin to dream about a life and a person that I could become that I would have never dared to dream before. I saw in these people a community that loved God. And they didn't just tolerate the people who were different from them. They seemed to genuinely love them. They were people who actually made a difference in their communities and in the world. And eventually, when I was ready to serve, when I raised my hand and said, I think I might be able to help out a little, they welcomed me. And I found a place for me to use my gift. And it literally changed my life. I knew from that point on that when I grew up in Christ, I wanted to be a Methodist. And I see that same beautiful spirit in so many of you when I visit you in the hospital, when I visit with you in my office, when I work with you, when I worship with you, when I serve with you. In the midst of often great pain and suffering in your lives, you are filled with joy and with hope and with gratitude and peace because you have tethered your lives to Christ. And you consistently breathe in grace, and then you exhale fruits of the Spirit around you. We, as Methodists, have something the world desperately needs to see in action right now. We have something worth fighting for in our schedules and worth living for with every breath that we dare to breathe. Today we're specifically talking about the means of grace, of gratitude. So how is it that we're supposed to cultivate this particular means of grace in our lives? Well, it probably won't surprise you that when I look for inspiration, I often turn to John Wesley, the author of Methodism. And he dedicated the first 6 days of every week to praying in relationship to the great commandment, to love God and to love others. And then on the last day of the week, on Saturday, he dedicated the entire day to expressing gratitude. For 60 years, he went through this process, week in and week out, and he would ask himself three questions at the end of every week. Have I allotted time for thanking God for the blessings of the past week? Have I, in order to be more sensible to them, seriously and deliberately considered the several circumstances that attuned them? And have I considered each of them as an obligation to greater love and consequently to stricter holiness? When I hear these questions, again, I echo Steve Harper's assessment when he stated, this demonstrates a faith that is sometimes inaccessible to me. John Wesley's consistency alone challenges me, not to mention his sincerity of purpose. These are questions that aren't hard to ask in and of themselves. If we will take time to do it, and when we do, they will undoubtedly develop a habit of gratitude that will shape our response to everyday life ups and downs. We all know people in our lives who, no matter what is happening, they seem to have embraced this practice well. They are a joy to be around, and they've practiced thankfulness to the point that their very lives and their presence in our lives is a gift. And when we're around them, they just seem to effortlessly exhale fruits of the Spirit. No matter what happens, they're exhaling love and joy and peace and mercy and kindness and faithfulness and goodness and self-control. I admit I am not that sanctified yet, but that is okay. I'm a work in progress, and I will get there one day because I am a mess. The rhetoric we hear and read in the news or on social media is increasingly polarized to the point that it seems that our sanity and our humanity are being worn thin. The cure is Christ. Christ is always the cure for whatever ails this world. Gratitude secures the mask that we breathe to Christ during turbulent times, enabling us to breathe in peace and love and joy and exhale fruit of the Spirit. It enables us to be the change we so long to see in the world. It also allows God to be invited into our situation, to be invited into the mess, and to create something beautiful out of the wreckage. But on the flip side, it does more than that. It also opens our eyes to the fact that there is more going well and right in the world that the media would have us believe. There is beauty. There are things worth celebrating each and every day of our lives. As such, we, who know how to secure our mask, must do it day in and day out. We have got to be the very best Methodists, the very best methodical followers of Christ that we can possibly be right now. We can be a vital voice and a model of character that the world desperately needs to witness right now. When we are willing to secure our mask firmly to Christ, we become authentic beacons of hope and light, of healing and hope. The world really is more beautiful than it is broken. And there is more we share in common with one another than what divides us. As we practice thankfulness, we are able to see this beauty and the potential for our unity, even in the midst of chaos. And we see it with greater and greater clarity the deeper we breathe in God's grace. So this week, I invite you to join me in cultivating the art of gratitude by intentionally asking ourselves these questions that Wesley asked himself. I've paraphrased them, though, because I have a hard time with the old English. So here's my version. What blessings have I experienced today? What details did God have to weave together to make them so? And as a result, how might I respond with greater love and stricter holiness? If you, like many of us, are feeling anxious about the state of the world right now, I encourage you to remember to secure your mask firmly to Christ through a life of spiritual discipline and breathe. Breathe in God's grace with a grateful heart at whatever pace that you can muster, so that when you go to exhale, what you exhale is love and joy. Mercy and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. A Methodist indeed gives thanks because it is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. May it always and increasingly be so. Amen.
Thanks be to God for this word that has been proclaimed and that guides us to this meal of grace, this shared meal. And ushers, or those of you who are going to be helping serve communion this morning, please come and make the stations ready at this time. We remember the night that Jesus sat with his disciples and gave thanks to his Father in heaven. Took bread, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, all of you, this is my body given for you. And when supper was over, he took the cup and again gave thanks to his Father in heaven and then offered it to his friends, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. In the United Methodist Church, communion is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or any church for that matter. You simply come as God invites you to come and feast, but come for all. Thank you.
Will you stand and receive this blessing? Take the hand of someone next to you. May the God who created you breathe his love and joy and hope and peace into you. And may you receive it well so that you can go forth from here and exhale God's peace, God's hope, God's love and joy in the world. Go forth to be light and hope, peace and darkness and darkness. Go forth carrying Jesus Christ into all that you do. Amen.